Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verse 14. It says, "For this cause," I'm reading from the King James, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We're named after his name. We're the body of Christ. Verse 16, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might." This word might in the Greek is dunamis. It just means, what it means is the explosive power of God. "By how?" By his spirit. Where? In the inner man. That means in your spirit. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is" what? "Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Boy, we can ask and think some pretty big things. But he's saying here, he'll do beyond that. "How? According to the power that worketh in us." Isn't that interesting? That God here is saying, according to this power that's at work in us, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So he's giving you the power to do that which he does direct us to do. He's giving us the ability to do that. So we're not here just as Christians in our own strength. God here is giving us the power and the ability to do what? To complete or to fulfill his will by his power, his spirit. You know, I will just stop and share this for a moment, that we can read that and go, boy, that's nice. But what does the scripture say? It says that the word heard that's not mixed with faith doesn't profit you. That's in the book of Hebrews. So you can read that and say, boy, that sure is nice. That sounds nice. But you've got to believe that which is written and say, I thank you, Lord, that the power of God is working in me, in my spirit, to fulfill what you've asked me to do. And I believe it's working in me now, whether you feel it or not. You know, the power of God, just like it says in the book of Luke, it said the power of God was present to heal, and the only person that was affected was the man that they let down through the roof. And it said there were Pharisees and Sadducees and doctors of the law present. So the power of God was present to heal. And it said the power of God was present, I know in the King James it says this, was present to heal them. Not just the man with the palsy that was let down from the roof. It was there to heal all of them. But they didn't take advantage of it. They didn't believe it. They were there to what? Scrutinize him. So they didn't believe, and it's the same thing here. We could find ourselves and read this and go, that's nice. We can wait on God to do something, or we can say, I believe you said it, Lord. I believe the power of God is strengthening me by your power in my inner man. I believe that. When we get up in the morning, we look cross-eyed in the mirror, and we look like we want to go back into bed and cover, pull the covers over, and we're weak. What do we say? I thank you, Lord, that your power is working in my spirit. I thank you that you're strengthening me today by your spirit to carry out the things you've assigned me to do. And you are doing exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. That's faith working. And that's it. We need to do that. That's a daily thing that we do. So let me continue here. And it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So verse 16, I like this. It says, one translation in verse 16, it says, I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. The New Living Translation says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. You know, I just share these truths because people are always looking for, how does this apply to me every day? This is it right here. Yes, yes. You need strength. You need inner strength. By who? Your own strength? No, you need his strength to do the things that you've been assigned to do in this earth. And you're going to do it by faith that he is there. The Spirit of God is in you. But he will lie dormant. He's a gentleman. And always remember this, God can't override your will. He will only do what you reach out and touch him with and say, Lord, I ask you to do this. He will never usurp your will. So you've got to say, I believe, God, that you're working in me. I believe that your power and strength is at work in my spirit today. Thank you. Let's say that. Let's say that. Father God, I believe that the Spirit of God lives in me, and he is strengthening me by his power in my spirit, in my inner man. And I am able to do those things that you've assigned me to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. I endeavor to say this, read it, let my eyes touch it. I endeavor to do this every day. Every day. Now, there may be a day I miss it because of my schedule, but when the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance, I just recite it because I've said it so much. I just, even today, coming up in the car, I just confess it. I thank you, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I thank you, Father, that the eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, that I am knowing what is the hope of your calling. I am knowing what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me, the saints. And you just begin, that becomes a part of you. So verse 16, it says, I cease not to give thanks for you. This is Paul. He's ceasing not to give thanks for those at the church of Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers. He's praying this for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. you know, just let's back up a second here. If Paul can pray this for the church at Ephesians, that means you have the right to pray this for somebody. Yes. And I've heard Brother Hagin talk about this, that when somebody was stuck in life somewhere, he would, by faith, pray this for somebody. Father, I lift up so-and-so. I ask that you give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And began to pray that prayer for them. And it continues, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? That's this word dunamis again. To usward who what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power. This is what we just got done reading in chapter 3. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Now let me ask a question. He's the head, we're the body. So who's the feet? We be the feet. We're the parts of the body. So here he said, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we were raised with him, and we were seated with him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. With him. So we have become, now it's just so we don't get spooky with this. You know, people say, well, I'm here on the earth. I'm not seated in heaven. God was, when he raised Jesus, the scripture says we were raised, we were crucified with him. Well, what does that mean? I didn't go to the cross, but my sins did. So as far as God was concerned, I went to the cross with him. And it says I was raised with him. And I was seated with him in heavenly places. What does that mean? That just means that I'm not physically seated with him, but as far as God is concerned, we are sharers with his authority. And that's what this is saying here. If you read this in some other translations, in verse 22, let me read this in the New Living Translation. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. See, he's the head. We're the body. Well, why did he do that? He wanted to restore fallen man to God the Father. Well, when you think about it, let's just stop and think about this for a minute. Man fell. Adam fell. It says he was deceived. And so he sinned and he was separated from God. He was removed from the garden. And so God had to establish a way so that man could be restored back to God. But let me ask this question. You can read it right in the first book of Genesis. Didn't God say, let us make man and let them have what?
Dominion.
Dominion. Over all the things that he put here in this earth. So why would he do that then and not do that now? Why would he do that? That doesn't make any sense. So God, in his master plan, restored man for the purpose of reestablishing that dominion. Now we are what? In Christ.
Hallelujah.
And it says here that all things have been put under Christ's feet for what? For our benefit.
Yes.
He restored authority and dominion back to his body. The body of Christ. And so we have to now understand our position and place. And that's what's happening, is that through teaching the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit unfolding and revealing the Word of God to us, we're beginning to see, well, wait a minute. Why am I tolerating all of this stuff here? I don't have to tolerate that. I mean, Adam could have said to the serpent, get off this planet, leave. But he didn't do it. He gave up his dominion. He turned it over to the deceiver. So here, the church has been exalted in Christ to rule over the spiritual powers of the air. That's what the scripture says. All things have been put under his feet. All principality, powers,
yes,
might, and dominion. What did Jesus say? All power. I have all power in heaven and earth. And he's the head. He's been given that by the Father, but he's turned it over to his body.
Yes.
We're in the earth. And he desires to do what? Work through us. Work through his body. So this is the purpose. Now let's turn over real quickly to Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 25. It says, whereof I am made a minister, this is Paul writing here, Apostle Paul, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, striving how? How is he striving? According to his own strength? No, it says according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. This is this strength in his inner man that's working powerfully, causing him to strive under all of the things that Paul went through. It allowed him the strength to carry out God's assignment for him. See? And this is what it says in the Amplified in verse 29. It says, for this I labor under weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. So God was working supernaturally in Paul to give him, as this translation says, superhuman energy to carry out the assignments. Because without it, he'd have given up. What did Paul do? And it says over in 2 Corinthians, I believe is it chapter 10? Why don't you go over there and we'll just take a side journey here for a second. I think it's chapter 10. I may be. Or is it 11? It's 11. 12, I'm sorry. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through what? The abundance of the revelations." This is talking about, he was praying that God would give this a spirit of wisdom, what? And revelation in the knowledge of him. He said here, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." I have a comma. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me." That was the thorn in the flesh. He had some opposition. It says here, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. "Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, he did what? He besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." And what was this Jesus' response here? He said unto me, "My grace is what? Sufficient for thee, for my what? My strength is made perfect in weakness." This is this supernatural strength that he was talking about. He said, "Paul, you're weary, you want to give up? My inner strength is enough. My grace is enough. My strength is enough to get you through, get you over." And that's why for us, when we get to that place of throwing a towel in, we've got to remember, "Lord, I want to give up, but your strength is enough. It's sufficient to see me through this. Your inner strength will carry me through." It's no different. You know, and I believe Jesus would say the same thing to every one of us. He'd say, "My grace, my strength is adequate. Look to the Spirit of God. He will strengthen you." Here's another translation. This is the Weymouth New Testament, verse Colossians 1:29. It says, "To this end, like an earnest wrestler, I exert all my strength in reliance upon the power of him who is mightily at work within me." See? So back to what I was saying, we've got to say, "I thank you, Lord, when I feel weak." What does the scripture say? "Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong." Hallelujah. And just continue over to chapter 2 of Colossians. Look at verse 9. It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him." He's talking about us. "We are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now look down at verse 12. It says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now look at verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you some of your trespasses." Says all your trespasses, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That just means the law and all the things that pertained in the law that was against us that was blotted out. It says, those ordinances which were contrary to us or against us took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And verse 15, and having spoiled or defeated principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So you can see here, it is he, God, that did what? In verse 13, he quickened the saints together with Christ and forgave their trespasses. It is he, God, who blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He blotted that out, which was contrary, took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. It was God the Father who did what? Spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we are strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, and you'd ask this question, for what purpose? The purpose is that he may work through us to accomplish his will here in the earth.
Hallelujah.
That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Listen to verse 9. Colossians 2:9, this is God's words translation. I like this. It says, all of God lives in Christ's body.
Yes.
Boy, I just like the way that reads. All of God lives in Christ's body. And God has made you complete in Christ. Christ is in charge of every ruler and authority. All of God lives in Christ's body. That's when it says, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the way the King James reads. Now, all of God doesn't live in me or you. All of God did live in Christ. But we have his, the scripture says, we have a measure of faith. We have the measure of his of the Spirit of God. We have him in us, but we don't have the all of God living in us. But collectively, the whole body does. Collectively, the whole body of Christ has all of God in it. Everybody got to understand that? So, the question you have to ask is, why is there not more of a manifest progress by the church? I think you know that. It's obvious. The church doesn't understand who they are in Christ and what they have. So thus, because of what we would call our spiritual apprehension, we're not making the progress that we should. That's why, you know, we share and teach so that the light of his word entering in, you begin to see, wow, I am somebody in Christ. I don't have to tolerate the things that I'm confronted with in life. And on top of that, see, always remember this, where the word of God is honored, and the Spirit of God is given access, God has a foothold there. And he begins to make progress in and through those people. But where the Word of God is not honored, and the Spirit of God is not honored, the devil gets a foothold. So when you go to your J-O-B, and you feel like it's hell on earth, or it's just craziness, just remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are, not observing and talking about all that's going on in your midst. You begin to, as they say, you may be the only person there that's a light. You need to say, I thank you, Father, that I am strengthened with your might when I go to my job. I thank you that I'm being strengthened by your spirit in my inner man. I thank you that you're giving me wisdom and revelation to know. Thank you that I'm a witness on this job. You know, when I worked before I left corporate America, I remember, it was funny, when I left, personnel said to me, you know, and I had, you know, I'd say God had opened doors, and so I had worked up, you know, the levels through management, and so a lot of the things I dealt with in the job were dealing directly with the vice presidents and managers and directors and so forth. But I remember that the staff that I oversaw, I remember this one gentleman said to me one time, he said, you know, there's something different about you. He said, we've observed, they've been observing for years. They said, you get upset, but you don't curse. And I went, I never realized. So I didn't. It wasn't in me. So it wasn't that I wouldn't get upset about things that weren't being done. The witness was I didn't curse like them. And so I just thought, so they took stock of that. They took notice. That was a witness to them. And that's what I mean. Wherever, now that may not be a witness through you to someone else, but I'm just saying when you go on your job, there's something about you that is a witness. What? You are a light. And you will shine, God will shine through you, even in all of our imperfections and idiosyncrasies and all of the quirkiness that we are. God will shine through you. And so God will see to it that people will walk up to you and say, what is it about you? What's different about you? This is where God wants to work through us to share his goodness with people. Not preach at people. Not hit, you know, get my Bible and hit people with it. But just be you. Just be you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to work through us to help people, to reach people. And this is where God wants to work. And I know we know this, but this strengthening with his spirit on our inner man is to strengthen us to do his work. Not just work a job to get stuff and toys, as I like to say. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I like nice things. And I don't say there's anything wrong with that. We should have nice things in life. God died for that. He sent his son here so that we would be what? Blessed. But that's not what our life is here for. That's so base. Our life is here to help people and to serve God and do his bidding, do what he wants. Because the scripture, it says, whether in life or in death, it says, we are the Lord's. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen. So we're his property. Spirit, soul, and body. And so I'm here to be strengthened with his word, by his spirit, to do his work. And that's the purpose of all of this. So the head is completely dependent upon the body. You know, you could have a great vision as a leader, and if the people don't cooperate, you ain't going nowhere. God could give you an idea, and you say, man, this is the greatest thing, I can see it. But it takes people to fulfill that vision. And so That's where God is. He's the head. Now, I will say this. God is going to get it done. If we sit down like a mule in the middle of the road, he'll find somebody else. He is going to get it done. It'll get done. And so just like the scripture, you know, think about the talents. The one that buried it, what did it say? He took that and gave it to somebody else who was faithful. So that's what it's talking about. He'll find somebody else who's faithful, and if we're not, he'll take what he gave to us and give it to somebody else. But he will get it done. So the body of Christ is submitted to the head. And that, again, we're submitted to the head, but we're made up of what? Many members. And that's really what, you know, you can go through. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all the various members in the body of Christ. That's when it talks about, it says, we're baptized into one body. So whether Jews or Greeks, bond or free, so we've made all been made to drink into one spirit. But for the body is not one member, but many. So we're many members. What does it say? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, and is it therefore not of the body? So we're many members made up of the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit comes into each member in order to do what? Create unity, bring unity. So that the will and purposes of the head will be accomplished. So here's something to consider. And this is why, you know, some of these lessons all tie together. But just as a kind of a closing note here. If your mind is not renewed to the Word of God, you know, the Holy Spirit can come over and say, I'd like you to do that. And you go, I'm not doing that. Because your mind has to be changed and altered by the Word of God so that when the Spirit of God, which leads us into what? All truth. When he says, go over here and do X, Y, Z, you go, okay, yep, that's the will of God. So the mind, the heart's been changed. The spirit's been changed. But the mind hasn't been renewed fully. So that's why it's important that we read the Word of God. That's why it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. So when the Spirit of God nudges us to do something because he leads us, then we flow. We say, that's the will of God. That's the perfect will of God. And so it's got to be the Word of God and the Spirit of God that does what? He empowers us with God's strength. See, so if we just had the Word of God without the ability of God to do it, we wouldn't be able to get the work done. We just have the Word of God. Yes, there's all power in the Word of God, but it can't just be the Word of God. The Spirit of God empowers us to do his will. That's why it's so important that when we talk about being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, it's for what purpose? To do his will. To give us the strength and the ability to do it. Right? So the renewed mind, while understanding the Word of God, may lack the power to perform it. You know, I can read the Word of God, but faith in the Word of God activates the Spirit of God to do something on the inside of us. So this is the purpose. This is what I would say is the grand purpose, that we have the Word of God, but we have the Spirit of God to empower us to do the word of God, to do his will. Everybody is kind of quiet in here. Hope I didn't put you to sleep. But to me, this is exciting, because whenever I feel like I can't do it, I have to look to the inside. I have to look on the inside of me and say, God, you told me to do this. I can't do this in my own strength. So I'm looking to you to strengthen me, empower me to do this. Because the scripture says all things are possible to them who believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. So start taking these scriptures, what I say, literally, and begin to make a profession of faith. You know, this little book here, I brought some up today, some more. I have a few of these and a few of these. These two books here will literally change you. This has a profession or a confession in this. Dr. Billy Brim shares in here how she professes her faith every day, every day. And so these are the principles. You know, when you talk about application, this is application. This is how we become successful in the things that we're assigned to do for God. We don't have to be, as I say, a failure. We don't have to come up short in one thing. Hallelujah.